Hey everybody, welcome to the Fat Loss Simplified podcast, where we teach you how you can lose 20 or more pounds of fat, heal your relationship with food, and be proud of what you see in the mirror without obsessing over food choices, spending hours in the gym, or giving up your social life. And today we have an awesome conversation with Justin. And Justin is a former wakeboarder who also became a firefighter, ended up struggling with a brain infection due to mold in his house and partial paralyzation, and made a comeback from all of that, and is now a coach helping others with chronic illness. And so I'm really excited to deliver that conversation for you today. But before we get into that, I just wanted to remind you of some opportunities that are available for you here at the show. Number one, and this is the most important one, and it's that if you are not subscribed, go ahead and hit either the subscribe or follow button. That ensures that you're able to get the information that we provide for you in the future, as well as helps to grow the podcast so that more people can learn and grow as well. In addition to that, if you're listening along and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I really could use some help for myself when it comes to figuring out the fat loss puzzle, then go ahead and schedule your strategy session today. During the free strategy session, it's just the time for us to sit down and have a conversation about where you are in your journey, what things you've tried, and what things have and haven't worked, so that we can come up with a plan that's customized for you so that you can start looking and feeling your best starting right away. And with all that being said, let's get right into the show. All right. Today we have Justin Gratzfield with us today. Now, Justin, to be fair, before I hit record, I should have checked this, but I didn't. And so now it's going to be on there. I guess I could edit it out, but I probably won't. You do pronounce it Gratzfield, correct?
Gratzfeld.
Gratz. See, I was wrong right off the bat. I'm wrong. So thankfully I got Justin right. I hope, right? I got Justin's pronounced that way.
Hey, it's okay because it means congratulations on the field in German. So
there you go. Hey, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, especially taking into account your background. For anybody that's finding this podcast and listening in, Justin has gone from being a pro athlete to a firefighter to dealing with a brain infection to now helping people with chronic illnesses. So really, whenever I have people on the show, it's because I want them to present, you know, their story, their expertise, and their life so that it can be of benefit to everybody else. So I'm kind of just going to hand it over to Justin. And you know, Justin, to kick us off, could you tell us about your experience as a pro athlete? Kind of how did that come about? What was that experience like? And what lessons did you take away from that experience?
Pretty much, I got into sports because my dad was doing sports as well. And he actually ended up in the Hall of Fame in Canada for wakeboarding. And so at age of three, I was wakeboarding already and competing in contests at 3 years old, and then kind of like nationals at like 10, and just kept like my first nationals, I think I won was when I was 10, and went to worlds that year too, and just kind of started competing for that. I ended up getting a lot of concussions in the way, and like doctors were like, don't bother coming in. They're not a big deal. Don't worry about it. You don't need it on your record. So I was like, oh, okay, this is great. I just deal with a couple weeks of pain. Sometimes my neck was like completely to my shoulder because I'd fallen so hard. And I got to a point where I was at nationals. I felt really bad, had 7 hours of paralysis, 2 to 6 nosebleeds a day going forward for 2 years, and then permanent headaches from it. And still the doctors weren't too worried about the concussions. And I was like, okay, so I just kept competing, going to Florida, living there. And I was really depressed, dealing with some bad mental illness because I was constantly in pain. And I was like, what's the point of being here? And I came to the conclusion that my mission was to help people. So I was coaching. I had my own provincial team I was coaching and doing that. And that was kind of my purpose. And I got to a point where I was like, man, these concussions, or I can't get any more, my body was seizing up. So it just wouldn't let me physically do the sport because my brain had put a barrier. So I was like, well, I have to quit this. And then dealing with identity loss of your whole entire being this one pursuit was very tough to mentally get over and like accomplish what you want, because I didn't have any other plans. I was like, I took massage therapy on the side because I was like just doing something on the side. And yeah. I was like, well, this isn't something I want. And I just wanted to try to help people. And so I ended up getting into firefighting, trying to figure out like the team aspect and like trying to have another identity and like pushing, there's like competition in it. And it was really nice to be able to help people again. So it gave me a purpose. And I did that for a couple of years. And things just started feeling wonky with me. So I took a leave of absence. And eventually I ended up getting, I was like playing basketball 3 times a week, working out 5K a day. And I went full body paralysis from a brain infection, and the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. And I was like, what is this? They can't figure out. I'm like, and it was a weird, it wasn't like paralysis constantly. It was, hey, I have 10 seconds that I'm able to move. So if I make it to the toilet and back, I'd have 3 hours of paralysis or 6 hours of paralysis. And so I could like, as long as I didn't expend my certain amount of energy, I could like read my daughter books or things like that. So it wasn't like full body paralysis, which was awesome. But the bad part was
only partial body, right? Oh yeah. Man, most people don't deal with that even. So that's,
it was like once the paralysis came in, it was like, oh, I only can move my eyeballs, or sometimes I couldn't even open my eyelids. It was just like, I was like, you ever watch that movie? Like, was it with the feelings inside? It's like, there's little emotions and stuff. It felt like I was inside a black, like a body. And I'm just this little thought in there. And then I couldn't control it. Uh-huh. It was a kind of cool sensation. And
yeah, cool is a positive way to put it.
Yeah. And yeah, like try to manually breathe and all these different things. And eventually got to the point, my wife, I also had a newborn. My wife was taken care of. So she was on maternity leave. And then she was taking care of me as well. And then we got to a point where we're like, we couldn't afford the house or anything. So we're like, we got to get out of this. And like, so we took like $50,000-$60,000 less than we bought the house for and just got rid of it. And that's why I really found out that it was the house making me sick. Like I went to a neuroscientist, like a functional neuroscientist. And he's like, hey, I'm pretty sure it's mold and you probably should get out of your house. But I was like, well, I can't afford the testing and all this stuff. And so as soon as I moved out of the house, I started getting better. Like 2 years ago in April 26, I walked my first block with a walker. And then July, I walked the first kilometer without a cane. And then September, I ran 5K. And then November, I ran just over a marathon, 48.34 kilometers in like a foot and a half snow and minus 20 in Canada. So, and then that's kind of when my journey really started to go, was once I actually got out of the house. I need to learn how to like extend my energy so I didn't get paralysis this long. So I'd go and do like a workout, and the workout to me was like, hey, I'm going to go and see if I can walk as far as I can. So it's like, hey, I made it to the living room and back, and then laid in bed and had 3 hours of paralysis. And then I just did that twice a day, every single day, just pushing a little bit farther and getting that paralysis until I wasn't getting it anymore. And I still having heart issues and whatnot, but I was like, I needed to figure out how to lose all this weight because I got into drinking really bad and I'd gained over 80 pounds, but I was scared to step on the scale. So I didn't check into like 2 months into training. And then I ended up doing like 75 hard and like all these crazy things and just wrecked my body. I was running 30 kilometers a day on 1500 to 1200 calories a day.
Oh,
and, so. Tore up my leg. And yeah,
that was, in addition to what you're trying to recover from.
Yeah, I was not feeling my body.
It's a recipe for disaster. Yeah, no.
I probably was eating less, but this is what I was eating. I was eating a cup of rolled oats, not cooked, just straight, no water, just down them. And then I was having like chicken breast, a lot of chicken breast, tuna, and maybe some rice every single day.
That sounds pretty typical of somebody that's trying to lose weight because, you know, the thought typically is, right? If I can lose weight faster, then that's better. And so going on these extreme measures, but kind of what was the journey, you know, getting to that place for you? You know, you're in the midst of recovery at this point from your brain infection from the mold. First of all, you know, this is kind of a by the way question because I kind of go on rabbit trails sometimes, but did it affect anybody else in your family? Because I know that mold in particular is a big issue when it's in your house. Or did it kind of affect them, but just affect you more profoundly?
So it is a micro mold particulate that only affects people with brain injuries.
So it was
passing the blood. Yeah. The blood brain barrier. And it was like eating my brain. But my neighbor beside me was having the same thing going on with her, and she was a paramedic. So I'm like, man, this mold's just attacking the first responders.
Yeah, which makes sense because they're the ones with the brain injuries because their job is so demanding. And you, having been a pro athlete and a first responder, were really susceptible to that in that case. But, you know, obviously gaining weight, not because of any other reason except for the fact that you can't move and the emotional toll that that takes. But then you go to those extreme measures to try to lose weight. Kind of how did you work your way out of that? And what did you discover worked best for you to kind of get out of that mindset as you tried to lose weight as well as rehab your body from that brain injury and brain infection?
I was running around like 360 kilometers a month and at minimum, and I was getting really injured. And I'm like, I was getting on the scale and I'm like, how is this possible? I'm running 30 kilometers a day and my weight's going up. I'm looking fatter. I'm getting injured more. I'm like, something's wrong. I got to figure it out. And then I started listening to like Mind Pump and they started talking about like reverse dieting and all this stuff. And then I was like, I heard about NCI and I took the courses for there and then started reverse diet and worked there. And I was like, it was crazy. I hadn't got to the point, but one of the biggest things that I noticed, so I was reverse dieting a little bit and trying to do it the proper way. And then I was like, oh, creatine. Everyone's talking about creatine. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a go. And I had the probably biggest profound increase in strength I've ever had from one day to the next. Within 3 days, I had gained 10 pounds and all my lifts went up by like 20 to 40 pounds at least. And like, so it was just like, I'm like, man, I feel so much better. My energy, my arms feel, I'm like, my muscles look rounder. I look a lot better. It was just like 3 days. So my ATP storage just must have been just completely shot and all that. And then I was like, I got to a point where I was reversed. I'm like, man, this is taking a bit. I'm like, you know what? I'll just gain extra weight and I'll lose it after. So I was like, I'll just jump up to my maintenance. And I was like, I worked my way up at that point from probably, I was around 1200 to 1500. I was probably at 2100. I was like, oh, I'm just going to go to 3400. So I did that, did like a bulk while I was working and put on, I went from 193 to 220. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go and do a cut now. And like, I was putting on so much muscle, like I wasn't gaining inches on my body. And then I did a cut and it was cool. The difference between like my previous 220 and my 220 when I was losing before that, because it was a different body completely. It was like, oh, I'm a chubby little guy versus like, oh, I have muscles and everything. And then I dropped back to 207, I think, at 9% body fat.
Wow.
And after doing that, but it was a little bit of process. Doing the jumping, you put on a lot. If you don't do the reverse diet like properly and go up in little increments, you put on a lot of weight really fast. So you gain a lot of body fat. So it takes some time to get there. But the best part was I had so much more energy to do things. So I was getting more steps. I was working out more. I had more energy to work on my business. I had more energy to do pretty much every single thing, like play with my daughter, all this. And my gut health got better and everything got improved. Like I have a little bit of a shaky right hand and that's got a lot better. My heart issues went away because I was feeding myself again. And I think that was the biggest thing throughout the whole recovery was I should have been fueling to get healthy and fix the illness. Because if you don't have the resources to actually fix what is wrong with you, you're never going to fix it. And you're just always going to feel like crap pretty much. So that was kind of like my journey there. And then I've been like fluctuating up and down, trying to figure out different athlete types. Like I went and did, I played like 15 basketball games, don't suggest this, in like 17 days. And it was cool because I take caliber measures on my body and my legs went, both legs went down 6 millimeters or six. And then, but my stomach went up 6. So it kind of was like, hey, since you're doing cardio, I'm going to pull the fat off your legs and it put in my gut. So that it was more accessible and like more functional for your legs moving back and forth. And this is just in a time of literally less than a month, 6 millimeters switched from one area to the other. So I've been just kind of testing out things and how your body works. And it's been cool to see the difference and how your body functions and adapts to different exercises and activities.
You know, that is really cool. It's your body almost instantaneously reacts to changes that are made. And for example, the creatine thing that you experienced, probably because you were eating all these lean meats, no red meats, and then all of a sudden you have creatine where before you had like very minimal because you're not eating red meats. Boom. I mean, that makes a change. And like you said, with the basketball, your body adapting to the fact that your legs need to move more and that the fuel source can be more accessible if it stores it in the gut, and just learning that process, I'm sure was a huge help for you and your business, as well as that transitions over to applying that to your clients. Because I'm sure a lot of them, and I know because I deal with clients that have the same struggles as well, but there is a lack of knowledge around the fact that whenever you're training for something, it needs to be for a specific outcome. For example, if you want to lose weight, that what's the easiest way to lose weight? Well, often that we forget about, the easiest way to lose weight is to add things in that make you healthy. And I think that's something that we all discover, because a lot of us as coaches really are coaches because we struggled in the past ourselves. And it's exactly what you said. It's when you become healthy, you lose the weight. It's not when you focus. The irony of it all is that when you stop focusing on losing the weight and just being healthy and moving more and being able to spend time with your kids and have energy and eat well and eat things you enjoy, then you start to lose weight. That's the great irony of it all. When you stop focusing on it, then the thing that you want actually happens. But with that being said, you know, with your experience through brain injury, brain infection, and the effects of that, you know, closely relating to chronic illness, with your clients, what are some common things that you have identified with your clients that are just like themes for you? That whenever you work with somebody, this is probably something you're going to deal with. Because if somebody's listening and they deal with a chronic illness, you know, they would probably benefit from whatever it is that you deal with most often. So what do your clients deal with most often? And what advice do you have for people dealing with those things? Because I don't know what you're about to say, but what advice do you have to solve that problem? So what is the most common problem? And then how can people go about solving that problem?
What I find most common is almost guaranteed they're eating around 800 to 1200 calories a day. Pretty much, like I've even had one guy that was 200 calories every day. And then on the fifth day, he would go to McDonald's. So he's averaging 600 calories and they're gaining weight. Another thing is they all pretty much all either have gut issues. Like I'd say 90% of them have gut issues. And then they're not sleeping good. They're usually having like night sweats or something. Thyroid's usually out of whack. Their hormones are all out of whack. And it's usually just stems to, first off, is they kind of give them up on themselves, but a lot of times is they've given up on the doctors because they keep getting they're just throwing spaghetti at the wall and it's not sticking. And they're just like, oh, well, you don't fit this box. We'll just try this. And they kind of lost faith and everything. So first off, they wake up, they're not hungry because they're not eating enough. So their hormones are off. And then they don't really want to eat. They don't want to move. And they're just generally depressed. So trying to get them out of that. Most of the time, actually, with working with them, it's not, I would say most of it is you actually connecting on a human basis and like actually having conversations, and like you're almost like a support person and then nutrition coach. A lot of like my first calls before I'm even working with them, they're crying on the phone because they're going over so much traumatic things that they've dealt with. And like, it's nice to be able to talk to someone that's went through things as well and kind of understands. So just one of the things that I do is like a staple to my whole program is I felt like focus 90. So the first 90 days is like, hey, you're going to focus on behaviors, identifying really yep. what the problem is. And because there's a reason you got to this point. And a lot of times they are overweight or something, and they've tried a bunch of yo-yo diets and have crashed your metabolism. So they either deal with emotional eating, self-sabotage, things like that. So they have to earn the right to lose weight. So they got to learn how to fix those so that you just don't do the same thing over and over. And then as well, we got to fix your hormones, your gut health, all those things. And once you're feeling the best you ever in your entire life, then we actually fix the main problems. But like of the weight loss. We go for that next. But one thing I really like to talk to him about is when we first start is write out your goals of what you really want to achieve with this weight loss. Does this weight loss come with more mobility? Are you able to play more with your kids, grandkids? Are you able to put your shoes on? Like, what is it getting rid of night sweats, sleeps better, things like that. So I can write all that stuff down because in the first 90 days, you could lose a lot of inches. I've had that happen as well. But a lot of those main issues that you want from weight loss, and weight loss is just a symptom, will get fixed so that when things get tough and you feel like quitting because you maintained weight this whole time, you look back and like, hey, I've fixed all these different problems. Is it really worth me giving up all these things to go back? Because you have to have like a point of view where you want to achieve and what you want to actually accomplish. So it's good to be reminded of what you've improved over the time. So I find those little markers are the best things for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I love that. You know, just an example from one of my clients as well is exactly what you said and exactly the mentality of I need to fix the behaviors before I get the outcome that I desire. It was about 90 days, exactly as you described, where we were working together and I was telling her, okay, you are dealing with all these things. You have poor sleep, you know, you're not really moving, you know, you don't have energy for your kids, et cetera, et cetera. And over that first 90 days, one by one, those problems were resolving. And around like day 80 or so, she was like, you know, I'd really love to see fat loss. And I said, well, we're ticking off all these other things. You know, we're checking all these other boxes off that you wanted to achieve. Give it 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks later, they come back and report, oh yeah, I lost 6 pounds in those 2 weeks. Because it's a lagging indicator, right? As we said before, it's you get healthy and then lose weight. It's not the other way around. So I love that. And I love that you said that. And I love that you approach it that way because that's 100% the right way to do it. Dealing specifically with people who have chronic illnesses, you know, a lot of times they are people who are discouraged because people have put limitations on them. You know, they go to a doctor and the doctor tells them, well, you'll never do X again. Do you find that you have to also provide a lot of emotional support? And, you know, how meaningful is that for them? I'm sure it's extremely meaningful, but in your, you know, observations, how meaningful is that for them? And how key is it for somebody who's looking to lose weight, to get healthy, those kinds of things, to have somebody like you who's been where they are and know how to support them emotionally, as well as give them, you know, the prescription of how they can get there as well?
I think it's about 90%, probably. Like majority is just having someone to be accountable for. And I find that people just releasing, like talking to me and like releasing their stress and everything just gives them the ability, like, hey, this person's been through it. It gives them some more hope because everything else in the past has been like a band-aid and hasn't actually been fixing it. And it's just like, do you patch this with this and patch this? And you just completely, you're like tired of all these pills and all these things. It's nice just to have some human connection because doctors aren't really connectable. It's not their fault either. They have 15 minutes to go through a client and then another 15 minutes. Like if they had the time, they probably would, but there's just not enough. So I think like 90% is just being like that friend and being that person that they can call. Like I go and make sure like 24-hour calling, or like as long as I'm not, my phone's not off while I'm sleeping, they can call and like, hey, if they're about to have an emotional eating outburst, they can call me and see what's up. Or and I feel like I'm more of a support system. And then I give them also the tools because my main goal is that you can do this for a decade, that it's easy, achievable, and you're able to get wins every single day. Like my one thing is like, hey, if you have a favorite food, eat it every single day, but only in moderation. Because I find with people with chronic illnesses, they binge eat like crazy. And when they do things, eventually they're going to break. So if they if they want that donut or like little, have it in moderation, fit it into our diet. I don't care if it's every single day. We can fit things around so that it works for you. And then guess what? You win that day. You win the next day. Next thing you know, you've won 1,000 days straight and things are going to be easy. You can't have too much limitations with all these diets have like, oh, you can't you only can eat meat, or you can only, you're vegan, so you only can eat this or this and this. And it's just too much. And people are going to break free from that. And then you're going to go to the things they want and they're going to overeat. And it's about consistency and behavior. So I always say, like, have the freedom to eat what you want. If I want to have my Coke that I like, I'm going to have that and just make sure to fit it in. And you can lose weight and do all those things. The only thing problem right now is, when you're eating 1200 calories, if you have a donut, that's a 30 of your calories right there. So we got to fix that first.
Yeah. You are in a place where you're only eating 1200 calories. You're exactly right. Then there's no room to mess up. And then when you mess up big. And that's the problem that you're seeking to solve. And that's huge for a lot of people. As we wrap up here, there's two more questions I got for you. One is, I guess, a two-part question. What part of your story do you find that people resonate with the most? And in resonating with that part of your story, what is like the one lesson? If you were to consolidate it into one thing, what would be the one thing that you really want people to know and be impacted by when it comes to you, your life, and your story?
I think the biggest thing that I've found through all my experiences is that, especially with me being depressed from losing the professional sports and then firefighting and that, is seeing what you're grateful for. I like to make sure that everyone writes three things that they're grateful for every single day. And it has to be something different just to change the mindset of who you are as a person, because you have probably 50,000 thoughts a day and like 70 to 90% of them are going to be the same one. So if you can change three things, that's going to change your whole entire mindset through the day. And in my experience, I went from doing all these things and being depressed. And then I lost ability to walk. And I was like, man, I would kill to be able to go hiking or go for a walk and get out of bed. And that was my new thing. It was like, hey, after I started, I was like, hey, I'm blessed to be able to get out of bed. So that's my new thing. It's like, any day I can get a bed is a blessed day. So just having the opportunity to do that becomes that blessing. And I think a lot of people, with how much things they're able to get with TV, and like, we're living like kings, if like 100 years ago, we'd like way better than kings. So, and they were happy then. But now that we have all of these things, we're depressed because you're always looking for the newer, better thing because you get acclimatized to what you have. So just trying to remember what you're grateful for every single day is the biggest thing that I've got out of this. And I'm happy that it happened because it gave me a whole new perception of reality. And like, it literally is a blessing to be able to get out of bed, maybe work out, eat food, do all these things, and have freedom to do things. It's such a blessing. So that was the biggest thing that I took away from it, is life is a lot better than I thought it was.
Yeah, and I love that perspective. And especially dealing with people that are dealing with chronic illnesses, you know, you can be tempted to get in your own head a lot, helping them to understand that, hey, there are always opportunities to grow and to experience life in new ways, and to get up and to move is a privilege. And it's an honor to be able to serve other people just by being able to be alive. You know, in your case, you know, serving your family. You mentioned that you had, you know, young kid at home when all this started with your brain infection with the mold, and just the opportunity to get out of bed and hug them. That's huge. So I will close off by saying this. If you have found this episode and you deal with chronic illness and you need to lose weight, I will say, I know lots of coaches with lots of different skill sets. Justin's your guy for this problem, because I don't know anybody else that's helping people with chronic illnesses and that has a experience like Justin has. You know, a lot of people are dealing with hormones, with, you know, general lifestyle stuff, but you're very specific with chronic illness. And if you're dealing with that, then Justin's your guy. So Justin, how can they find you? I'll put it in the show notes, but you know, if somebody's driving in their car right now, or how can they reach out to you? What are some ways that they can find you and work with you?
The best way is on Facebook, of course, and it's just Justin and then Gratzfeld will be in the show notes. But then I also have Instagram that I'm working on getting going a little bit more. It's just Fit Gratz, so Gratz. And then I did start a podcast that is called The Comeback Code. It's been on a little bit of a hiatus. And it pretty much just deals with people that have went through traumatic struggle and how they overcame it and everything. Like one person, they lost 100 pounds after cancer, and like just different atmospheres and things. I'm trying to get more people that have went through things like that on there just to talk about it so that you don't feel so alone. Because
yeah,
I felt extremely alone when I was by myself. And I didn't know anyone that was dealing with this, and I felt just really isolated. So it's nice to have some other perspectives and see that other people are going through things like this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's very encouraging for people that are dealing with that kind of stuff. I have never dealt with chronic illness, but I have close relationships with people that do. And even me, like I deeply care about people and serving them and impacting them and having them, you know, make positive changes in their life. But if you've never been through it, right, then it's hard to connect. And as much as like somebody like me would really want to, you know, people really do need somebody that's been through it because they can connect on a personal level. They've actually been there, whereas somebody like me has not. So that's huge. So those are the places you can find Justin. Reach out to him, work with him. If his story resonated with you and you believe that he can be of help to you, he is your guy for working to lose weight, get healthy. If you got chronic illness, he can help you with both emotional as well as the physical aspect. Both are super important. Thankful for you, Justin, and glad we were able to connect today.
Yeah, me too. It was a pleasure.
Oh, and today we have something brand new. We just released our Lose Fat Like Crazy ebook. And in that ebook, you receive the answers to the 7 most common questions that our clients come to us asking, and their answers that, when implemented, will allow your body to start releasing fat right away. In addition to that, there's also a bonus of 50 macro-friendly recipes so that we've done all the heavy lifting for you. You don't have to think about which macros will fit into which meals. We've basically handed you the keys. So go down to the show notes below, click on the link, Lose Fat Like Crazy ebook, and download your copy today.